You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In the spring of 2007, record-breaking numbers of two-year-old sockeye salmon left Chilco Lake for their journey down the Fraser River to the ocean. The number of smolts was double the greatest number ever recorded in the 50 years since fisheries managers have been counting fish leaving the lake. But surveys in the Strait of Georgia conducted by the Department of Fisheries and Oceans in July of that year found only 157 sockeye smolts in test nets. Speculation about what happened to those fish is now front page news, as the DFO predicts the sockeye salmon run down 80% from earlier estimations. Stan Probosch is a fisheries biologist with the Watershed Watch Salmon Society, and he joins me in the studio this morning. Hello, Stan.
Hi.
I understand that there are various theories about what happened to the fish, and one has to do with food supplies for the smolts. How does that theory go?
There's a number of theories going around right now. The one is food availability, and so some folks think that when these fish emerge from the Fraser into the estuary and into the Georgia Strait, there wasn't enough food available for them at that time. That may be linked to changes in temperature or just changes in the marine environment, which is linked to the food chain and food production.
So they just died of starvation then, basically?
Yeah, that's one thought.
Okay.
Yeah, that may have been a factor.
And what other theories are people coming up with?
Another one, it has to do with elevated river temperatures. So salmon are very sensitive to changes in temperature. And the Fraser River, its temperature has been increasing recently due to warmer summers. So it may be that temperatures raise stress levels on these out-migrating fish, and that may have decreased their survival.
Okay. And then there is a theory about sea lice. Now, can you explain that one to me?
Sure. That's another theory going around. There was a paper published by Alexandra Morton in 2008 in the Journal of North American Fisheries Management. And what she discovered was that in the Discovery Islands area in the northern Georgia Strait area, she found that she sampled juvenile sockeye during their outmigration, and she found elevated levels of sea lice on them. So we've been following up on that research. I'm working with the Coastal Alliance for Aquaculture Reform and Raincoast Conservation Foundation, and kind of following up on that research, and we've discovered that some of those fish that do migrate in that area are actually Fraser River fish, and we've done a DNA analysis on them to confirm that. So that is another substantiated concern, and I think with those three theories, I think it may be too simple to actually point the finger at solely one of them.
Do you lean more towards one than the other?
Well, I have to look at the scientific evidence. I mean, first of all, the temperature issue and the food availability issue, there hasn't been any scientific papers published on that specifically. With regards to the sea lice issue, there has been a paper published on that. But to be quite honest, for the collapse of the Fraser River, it's still we really don't know what happened. And I think we need to press for some sort of science review of really what happened in 2007. But we do know that Fisheries and Oceans did know something went wrong in 2007, but now we're just recently hearing about it in 2009, which is a bit of a concern.
Well, why did it take so long for the alarm to be raised about the fish? I mean, it seems like there was significant evidence in 2007, as you said.
That's something that folks should be asking Fisheries and Oceans Canada about, because according to an article by Stephen Hume in The Sun a little while ago, there were some scientists that actually warned of a low return this year in 2007. Yet we did get a preseason forecast of over 10 million fish, which that's why I'm asking for a science review of this information from Fisheries and Oceans Canada.
When you say a science review, what would you like to see the DFO be doing right now?
Yeah, pulling together a broad range of scientists to look at all the information that they have, as well as other information, and we have to turn over every stone. For example, one thing that Paul Sprout, who is the regional director of Fisheries and Oceans Canada, said in the Globe and Mail recently was he totally dismissed sea lice as a potential cause. Now, as I said, there's been papers published on this, so I don't see how he can dismiss this automatically without any evidence. So we have to turn over every stone. Another potential thing that may have caused a collapse of this magnitude was possibly a disease outbreak. That may have been a factor. And then we do know that salmon farms have disease problems, and since they're raising salmon as well, this could translate into a disease to wild fish. Again, that's just another idea, but we have to look at all the possible potential causes.
So you'd like to see some kind of wide-scale inquiry?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it'd be an inquiry, but just like a public session where we pull together a workshop or with a number of scientists and some from DFO, some from outside DFO, maybe some of the local university academic professors, and look at all the information and come to some sort of conclusions, because we're not really hearing a lot from Fisheries and Oceans Canada about what happened here.
What's your take on how fisheries management is managing the resource in BC?
It's a tough question. I feel that Fisheries and Oceans Canada purports to be a precautionary management agency, yet I don't see that happening in action. For example, British Columbia has been in the process of developing a wild salmon policy for a number of years. And this policy hopes to, provide solid legislation that will conserve salmon for future generations. This process has been going on for years, and it's going rather slow. So I'd wish that would be sped up. Some of the ways they manage fish in the Fraser River are of concern. For example, we've just heard about this sockeye collapse. What's the fish that are returning now, starting to return, are the pink salmon. And it's thought that their numbers are going to be decent this year. So when the commercial fleets fish for pink salmon, they're also going to be catching some of these depleted sockeye incidentally and killing them. So that's not doing, the low sockeye numbers any favors, some of those stocks. So maybe something can be tweaked in their management or how they fish for sockeye and pinks in the river. So there's a number of concerns that I have, which points the finger at DFO and them not acting precautionary. So
how would a precautionary approach look like vis-a-vis fish farms?
Well, that's another example. I mean, there is a global weight of evidence that links salmon farms with potential declines in wild salmon. I mean, there was a study done in Dalhousie, and it looked at Ireland, Scotland, Eastern Canada, and BC, and what they found was when you increase production in salmon farms in an area, you also get a decrease in survival or abundance of wild salmon. There was another study that was published out of the University of Alberta, specifically from the Broughton Archipelago. We're talking about a different species, pink salmon. However, they linked sea lice to declining populations of pink salmon in that area. So I think that DFO, in a precautionary manner, should remove some of these farms that are potentially a problem in migration areas and corridors, such as the Georgia Strait.
So have them some places, but not in other places.
Yep, or they could even just change the technology, and that's been proposed recently, and well, actually for a while now, that we can change these open net cages into closed contained systems, which would, you know, decrease the amount of disease that transfers into the ocean, because there's a solid barrier between the farm fish and the wild fish. So that's what I would suggest.
Now, I understand that the Fraser River sockeye recently got a stamp of approval from a London-based agency.
Correct. Yeah, that would be the Marine Stewardship Council. And what that body does is they certify stocks and species and fisheries as sustainable. So they just recently suggested that the Fraser River sockeye are managed in a sustainable manner. I would question that now, given all the information that's come through in the last month or so about sockeye and Fraser River fish coming back in low numbers. Also, the fact that DFO has made errors with respect to their returns. And also, as we've talked about earlier, they've suppressed some of this information from 2007. So I'm not sure that I would certify Fraser River sockeye as sustainably managed. So,
What can people do if they want to register their concerns about what's happening with the fish in BC?
Sure. Well, I would obviously just contact their local political representative and make a few suggestions. One, like I said, get some sort of science review happening from Fisheries and Oceans Canada. Another one suggests that they act more precautionarily in terms of a potential risk that's been, you know, published on is salmon farms. Get them to remove some of these farms in migratory corridors, such as the Georgia Strait. I guess maybe even recommend that they look at how they commercially fish salmon in general in the Fraser River, and maybe ask them to revise that or look at that so they're fishing fish more precautionarily in that area.
Well, thanks a lot for coming down this morning, Stan.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Stan Probosch. He's a fisheries biologist with the Watershed Watch Salmon Society, and you can go to their website to get a whole bunch more information, and it's Watershed Watch Salmon Society.